Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Again, it's Tuesday. Tuesday, January something. I don't know. What is it, Fred?
28.
Oh, sorry, I'm not Fred. I'll get back in line.
That's okay. No, that's all right.
Sorry.
So, Wesley Wildman with me, Fred Jackson with me, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins
us. Morning, everybody.
Studio on this, man, January's. We've about blown through January, hadn't we?
Yeah. Yep. End of February.
Always amazing. Right.
Hey, Steve, Wesley and I were talking here off the air, looking at aerial shots of Southern California.
Yeah.
In particular, you know, the Los Angeles area, although there's been some fires now in the San Diego area. And you, having gone to school there and know that part of the country very well, the Palisades, right, that's what it's called, which is a mountainous area just north of Los Angeles. Is that right?
It's a it is. It's like a park slash community, but it butts up against the ocean.
Okay. But we've seen the aerial shots, I guess thousands of homes and businesses destroyed.
Gone.
I was going to ask you, of course, now they're calling for rainfall that might cause mudslides.
Yep. That's the next thing up.
But I wanted to ask you, I know you're not an expert on this subject that I'm about to bring up, but Wesley and I were talking here. How long do you think it will take for them to rebuild? And is that even possible now? Do you think insurance will be so unaffordable? I mean,
it's a real interesting question, because there's a lot of people who think that the conspiracy theorists will say that the fires were set on purpose for this. I don't believe that. But now that they're gone, California is all into low-income housing and apartments, and there's a lot of people who say that they're going to replace all those million-dollar homes with apartment buildings. And so there's going to be a battle between the people that own the land and the people that want to build.
Okay, the houses that the slabs are still there.
Yes.
There.
Can you, pardon my ignorance here, but can you just rebuild on top of the slab?
I don't know.
Does that depend on the damage, I guess?
I mean,
it's just concrete. You can't burn concrete up, right?
No. Probably, although the problem with that is that whatever house you build on top of it is going to smell like smoke forever.
Probably really?
It's...
You mean because the smoke stays in the ground in the slab?
If the slab was burned, it might not have burned up, but it was burned. And anybody that moves back into, regardless of what slab they're building on, that place is going to smell like smoke for quite a while. I saw a community in Colorado Springs that was burned to the ground like this. It was much smaller than what happened in LA, but the entire neighborhood burned to the ground. And within a year, they were rebuilding those homes.
Yeah.
Well, if your conspiracy theory that you're
what's the conspiracy, guys? Fill me in here. I'm new to this.
Because
I believe in Bigfoot. That's what you're talking about.
There is a belief that Gavin Newsom and his liberal Democrats out there, they're really into social housing. And of course, California has a problem with homeless.
Talking about low income housing, yes, or income free housing, government housing, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So there is a thought out there that Newsom will say, all right, we're going to designate 50% of the land that was burnt. Instead of allowing million-dollar houses to be built there again, we're going to put up multi-family apartments, low-income apartments.
You're not saying Newsom was a part of the arson or something, are you?
Oh, No.
I don't even think the wildest conspiracy theory would say that, although...
You're saying the conspiracy theory is post-fire. Post-fire.
Take advantage.
On the rebuild is what you're saying. Yes. Okay.
Yes. And that starts because was one of the reason that the conspiracy has started because of Karen Bass's comments about waiting.
The mayor
of L.A. To wait 18 months before they can go back in there and start rebuilding.
Did you say that?
So if you have to wait 18 months to rebuild, why is that? Well,
for one thing, they're going to have to clean. I don't know what the time, but they are going to have to clean that stuff out. And you got to. That's going to take a year.
Yeah.
Don't you think, to clean everything out? Maybe not, but I'm talking
about. A lot of these homeowners have said, we're not going back.
Right, yeah. Right.
We're not going to do it. Think of the loss of the tax base.
That's what I, yep.
Think of the loss of the tax base.
That would be enormous.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right, because the property taxes there and the people who live there in the Palisades in particular, you know, they make more money than the average American, probably double, triple on average. So
yep.
a lot of money it would be leaving. At least that part of Southern California.
They've been losing money for years now with people leaving. There's a lot more. Right. The U-Haul did a survey and found that California is the least likely place you're able to find a U-Haul truck because they're all leaving.
Hey, let me ask you this. let me ask you this, Steve, and then we can move on from here. And I've been to Southern California, I don't know, eight, nine times in my life for various and sundry reasons. What's the number one attraction for people living there? Is it the weather?
It's the weather.
Okay.
It's the weather.
It's pleasant. It's very pleasant most of the year.
It's beautiful weather. And now L.A. proper had some smog problems, and there's just a lot of people there. So a lot of people are born there and live there. But if you're going to choose it, like down near San Diego or up near Ventura, which is south and the north of the L.A. Basin, it's perpetual spring.
Okay.
It's gorgeous.
Okay. And the scenery.
Yeah, and it's beautiful beyond description, almost.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening. Wesley, Fred, Tim, and now Steve. Steve, what's your story there you got in front of
Well,
we already, by the way, we already talked about Jim Acosta being booted.
Did you?
Yeah, we stole that story from you. Sorry about that. You can just dish that one to the side and move on to your next story.
But I brought some sound in.
Oh, well, okay. Well,
that adds flavor.
Okay. For people who didn't hear last hour, yes. Or maybe you did, Steve's got some sound to this. Jim Acosta, the legendary Trump hater at CNN.
It's going to be a comedy skit.
He's leaving, or he's been booted, or what?
Well, they wanted to move his time slot, and he said, after careful consideration, I'm out. Okay. I don't want to move my time slot. Going to give him 2 hours at midnight instead of 1 hour at 10 o'clock, I think it was what it was. But I wanted to just play you a little bit of memory, go back a couple years, and relive the joy that was the press conferences between Donald Trump and the fights he had with Jim Acosta. I just think that's worth going back and looking.
Kind of like watching highlights of Frasier and Ali.
It's like that, or like watching highlights of car wrecks. Let's listen to Cut 11.
And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation?
He walked away from the podium.
Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
And he's not anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, right.
That was
one week in, and he's gotten rid of Jim Acosta.
The clip we heard was from the first administration.
Yes.
First Trump administration.
It was. He has a whole new attitude toward the press now.
Mm. What is that?
He's not fighting with them. They're not the enemy of the people. He just doesn't care what they say about him anymore. I mean, this is the lame duck status where he doesn't have to think about another
election.
Yeah, he
can't be elected again, so.
So he's just going and doing his thing, and if you don't like it, you write about it wrong. Well,
I think Trump now realizes the public is on his side. The public doesn't trust the mainstream media. So Trump sees himself out there with mainstream America who feel the same way as Trump does about the mainstream media. They're discrediting themselves.
That's right.
They are going down the tubes. We talked about CNN, MSNBC. So he's taking a victory lap saying, I told you so. You know, the media is not to be trusted. Fake news, all of that sort of thing. He has won that battle.
And yeah. I believe the single biggest thing that came from the election is President Trump winning the popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
Because that takes a lot off the table for the Democrats that would have otherwise spent the next 6 months, starting the day after the election, of saying this isn't the popular people. They spoke.
Yeah,
they
would say, but he didn't win the popular vote.
Oh, that we've heard that for elections in the past, and they would and they would use that as motivation, and they would spin that however they wanted. But they lost in every category. Outright flat, they just lost.
Yeah,
and when you lose that bad across the board, you get tight. And President Trump feels that. I do think he's
He knows the wind is at his sails.
That's
yes,
it.
Yes.
Yeah. The wind is at his
back,
which helps him sail. Right.
Yes, fills out the sails. The wind's at your back. You're going
I don't
forward.
Know. Let me think.
Was that metaphor? I got my metaphor right there.
The wind is at your back.
But now we are known to mix metaphors on today's issues.
That's true.
Yes, we are. So we're good at it too.
Purposefully,
the wind at your back,
maybe not so much, but we do it.
All right, Steve, next story.
All right. I'd like to play you. The Catholic Church is very, very concerned with the plight of the illegals in this country and the Catholic Charities specifically. I came across this video of a lawyer for the Catholic Charities telling illegal immigrants how to avoid ICE. Cut 7.
My name's Barb Graham, and I'm an attorney at Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee in the Refugee and Immigration Services Program. This is a video about knowing your rights if Immigration and Customs Enforcement approaches you. You have the right to remain silent. You do not need to speak to the immigration authorities or answer any questions. You may simply refuse to answer or remain silent. You may refuse to show identity documents and say what country you are from.
So they want, you know, we don't want to beat up on the poor illegal immigrants, you know, but I'm thinking there might be another reason that they are worried about this whole thing. According to a study, or the study by a group called Complicit Clergy, compiled at its, they have found out how much money the government has given Catholic Charities.
Uh-oh.
Over the last 4 years, the government has given Catholic Charities $2.9 billion.
For?
Whatever the Catholic Charity does.
Well, all right, let me tell you how this works here, because I have close friends who are Catholic, all right? They are what you call real Catholics, okay, conservative Catholics, not Biden type Catholics. By that I mean they actually, you know, they actually believe in law and order.
They follow the churches.
Yes, they believe in compassion, and yes, they believe in helping people and doing charitable work. That is the history of the Catholic Church all around the world, probably more than any other group in history. However, groups like this Catholic Charities.
Yep.
They're far lefties, okay? Mm-hmm. They're out of step with the mainstream Catholic churchgoer out there. And whoever controls that purse should rein them in. I don't know if that's the Catholic bishops or whoever controls that. But this group right here has only fostered illegal immigration to the hilt. The reason they got money, and the Biden administration in particular, is because they believe in illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And well, they don't believe immigration is illegal. Now, they might say it on their paper, but they do everything they can, like this example you just gave, to foster, to encourage, to incentivize people pouring into the United States of America illegally. And when you say anything about it, they'll say, hey, we got to help these poor people.
Yeah.
That's our job as Christians, is to help these poor people. And nobody denies it's the Christian's responsibility to be charitable to people and to help
poor
people.
Which is why we send the most number of missionaries around the world.
Around the world. And America does the most work, both privately and governmental, around the world to help the poor and the needy.
That's right.
Okay? So that's not the issue. But these folks here, this Catholic Charities, like you just played?
Yep.
They need to be defunded by the Catholic Church. If I was a member of the Catholic Church, I would try to say none of my tithing goes to support this group.
Well, the individual Catholic is certainly free to do that, but the problem that they're going to run into currently is that the Pope is on the side of the NGO, of the Catholic Charities.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
So I got some Catholic friends who want that Pope out, too.
Yeah.
So he's not very popular among a lot of American Catholics. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
Next story.
All right.
I've said as much as I can about the Catholic Church when I'm from an evangelical Protestant boy.
Okay. Okay. We'll go on here.
Yeah.
Senator Mike Lee wants to fight the cartels, and he has a plan. He wants to bring back privateers.
Privateers?
This is.
Imagine you explain to us what that is.
A privateer is a civilian who is given permission to do things that military people would do in time of war. Now, you think mostly of the pirates, people going and taking over pirate ships and that kind of stuff, privateers. But Mike Lee wants to authorize American citizens to enlist in the war on...
There's some college team called the Privateers.
Are there?
Yeah. I'm going to look that up. Go ahead. I remember. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No.
So he says that Congress should issue letters of marque and reprisal, which is the permission slip, basically, to become a privateer, authorizing private security firms or specially trained civilians to intercept cartel operations, particularly those involving...
What do you do? Do you deputize them?
Basically, they get the letter. They're still private. They're not part of the government, but they are allowed by the government to interdict these terrorists.
What do you think about this, Steve?
I was going to say, do you like that?
I think it's a dangerous job, but Mike Lee's not alone.
Anybody, hey, the University of New Orleans, they're known as the Privateers.
There you go.
I remember that somewhere. I don't know what I think about that idea.
Do you know who Representative Justin Keene is in Mississippi? Representative Justin Keene?
Yeah, what would he say?
He has a bill
in the state legislature.
State legislature that would authorize a $1,000 a head bounty on illegal immigrants.
A bounty?
Yeah.
A bounty means you.
But is that?
You better clarify that.
Is that for information?
It authorizes a $1,000 reward for tips related to the capture of an illegal immigrant and creates a felony crime of trespass by an alien with some pretty stiff punishments.
Yeah.
Well, if it just involves giving authorities information,
right,
I think
right.
that group of people right. living in that house,
right.
I don't think they're here legally. You may want to check them out.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that.
I don't like the word bounty.
Well, it's in bounty the name of the bill.
Bounty sounds like, you remember in the old Western movies.
I don't mind it.
Huh? You don't mind a bounty. Now, yeah, what was that the guy on TV, Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah. Now, it does allow, as I'm reading here, it's called the Illegal Alien Certified Bounty Hunter Program. The bill was authored by Representative Justin Keene and authorized certified bounty hunters to round up illegal immigrants for deportation at $1,000.
Right. Before we get started, I'm pretty hardcore about getting rid of illegal immigrants.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. Okay. You're not talking about getting rid of them. You're talking about sending them home.
Yes, not get rid of them. Yes.
Well, I'm just trying to keep us off the, you know, off the...
Of the hate list?
The hate
we've been
list
on that for
the,
a while,
the,
so
that's
not going to change.
People, whatever that group is.
I'm sorry. For a moment, I didn't feel like I had to split hairs.
Right, right.
I apologize.
What's that group in Montgomery that puts us on the hate group list? Southern Poverty Law Center?
Yeah. Yeah,
trying to keep us off there, Wesley.
Well, you know what? They don't have
being helpful.
Listen, they don't have a quote.
Get rid of them.
Well, they don't have a quote from me yet, so now they do.
Now they do, yeah. I'll put you in there.
Oh, wow. Wesley's made the list.
All right. Next story, Steve.
All right. Listen, I'm not sure what's going on in Georgia, but the Republican Party is a little squishy, it seems.
And where?
Georgia.
Okay.
The state two over from Mississippi.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that, yeah.
Yeah. Just this week, the Republican-led House invited a transgender, quote, pastor to come and do a devotion and lead prayer to open up their legislative session.
Oh, what?
Cut.
Where'd you get this from?
Well, you can listen to it. Cuts 9.
We might recognize each other from those days, perhaps. but probably not. I got cuter since then. As I was preparing for this moment, I remembered the little rhyme that my grandmother taught me in the little Methodist church in New Bern, Georgia, where they lived.
I can't take it.
The little rhyme went like this. You probably know it. This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people.
That's all.
No, I learned this when I was very young.
That's all I can take of that. That was a speaker in front of the Georgia State Legislature.
His name is Andy Woodworth. He goes by Andy Woodworth, and his A-N-D-I. And
that's surprising, because you said that is a Republican-controlled House.
It is.
And if you live in Georgia, help us do something about that.
Mm. Well, yeah, that should be.
The Speaker of the House thanked this pastor and said to the people.
That was a pastor?
Yes, she is a pastor of probably.
That's a he, right?
It is a he. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you see, you fell for it yourself.
Now I'm going to be on somebody's list.
Listen.
But the Speaker of the House thanked this guy and said to the members assembled there, if you guys want, this pastor is going to be in the ante room back there. If you guys want to go take pictures with her, you may.
You shouldn't be having that.
No, and that's going to be going away pretty soon. But the wave is not in your favor here.
I really am surprised, because Georgia is a conservative, basically a conservative state, and if the assembly, as they call it, General Assembly, is opened, is controlled by Republicans, and they invited this fella, who says he's a woman, to quote pray. Anyway, I don't.
That's disturbing. I don't.
Nobody hates anybody that's in this situation. They're obviously messed up. Okay, they're confused. They're confused
and deceived.
The people who think they're a man, and they think they're a woman. And a lot of times there are reasons for this that are that affect people's lives. I knew one person who was found out to be a cross dresser, and this was 25 years ago. I remember this, and I knew this person personally. And what had happened to him was his grandmother dressed him up like a girl when she kept him for years, like for 4 or 5 years, and that warped him.
Mm-hmm.
That warped him. So a lot of times there's that kind of thing in the background of these.
Yeah.
Of these people, sadly and tragically, but you don't celebrate it. No. All right? You do not celebrate it or say it's something that should be applauded or you're brave for doing this or anything like that. That's not normal. It should, and God created male and female.
Amen.
And there's nothing else. God created male and female. So anyway, sorry to hear that happen there in Georgia. All right. Brett, thank you.
Good to be here.
Wesley, thank you.
Enjoyed it.
Steve?
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Now, you're going to give me a geography lesson, are you, Steve?
Well, me too. What?
Yeah, you said Georgia was two states over from Mississippi.
It's the second state over, I think you said.
Didn't
I say the second over?
State. Yeah, it's a.
Alabama's the first state over, and then Georgia's.
Alabama's between us. That's right. You're on to something there, Steve.
We just hope we made everybody's day better.
Steve the Explorer.
All right.
All right. My thanks to Brent Creeley, Kirk Cameron, Chris Woodward. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Have a great day, everybody. See you back here tomorrow.